August 19th, National Aviation Day, chosen for the birthday of Orville Wright, who piloted the first recorded flight of a powered heavier-than-air machine in 1903. In other words, he was the first guy to fly an airplane. Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of Free to Flare Co. podcast. I'm your host, Joey Page, and in the spirit of National Aviation Day, I'm going to tell the story about the Wright brothers, those famous American aviation pioneers who, without them, we would not have the hours of wait time at the TSA airports to get on these planes and go see the world. Thank you, Wright brothers. So in the spirit of that, what I would love to kick it off with, and I would be crazy not to, is ladies and gentlemen, please make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their full upright position. Make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened and all carry-on luggage is stowed underneath the seat in front of you or in the overhead bins. Thank you. Bing, bing. All right, let's get this going. So we're going to tell the story, and then as we close our session out today for this episode, I am also going to share some really fun tips for you parents out there flying with kids in hopes to just make it a little bit less stressful. So we got the Wright brothers who are making the dream happen to get you where you need to go. And I'm here to just try to prevent you from wanting to lose your mind while you're in the sky with your sweet little nuggets. The Wright brothers. So the two guys, Wilbur and Orville Wright, they are came from a family of seven total siblings. So they had five other siblings, wild times. Everyone's busy. Everyone's got kids back then. 1903. Now, for a little bit of context, think about this. This was 1903 when they invented the first ever successfully flew the plane in the sky with someone in it. 1903. Literally 100 years before that, in 1803, was when Thomas Jefferson signed a deal with the Louisiana Purchase, and Lewis and Clark took off on their great expedition to go explore out west and see and learn all the things that we had just bought. So 100 years later, look at where we've come in American history. How amazing is that in perspective? Thank you to the Wright brothers. So Orville, let's start with him. Orville was a high school dropout. Hello, Steve Jobs. He was a high school dropout. Wasn't for him, but he was also very creative, an inventor. He had a total love and belief in the scientific method, recording things, studying things, and absolute brilliant critical thinker. Then we have that other brother, Wilbur. He was the older bro. He did finish high school, was planning to go to Yale, but ended up staying back from college and not going to college because his mother fell extremely ill. She got TB and ended up passing away, and he wanted to spend his time with her as she passed away, which is so sweet. You know, what a testament to family. And we love that at Freedom Flare. We love family. Family's forever. Faith, family, freedom, baby. Woo! So Wilbur, good guy. Also very much so loved reading in their home. They had a library with tons of books. His dad had a ton of books. So he loved to read. So even though he was at home caring for his mother, he was still diving deep in there and learning everything. And another kid, just like his brother Orville, fascinated with the scientific method. Now, Orville had taken off, high school dropouty, and decided to go invent his own version of a printing press, open a printing shop. He learned a lot about mechanics at this point, and he started to become very fascinated with motors to make things move quicker and all of the science behind that. Wilbur decided to jump on board and help him out in the printing press business, and the two of them were a really great duo when it came to innovating and inventing new things. As time had gone on just a little bit, bicycles were taking off like little rocket ships. They were very popular, and the two brothers opened a little bike shop and were, in fact, continuing to study, at this point, you know, rotation and a lot of the physics that many of us probably didn't do too great in school in. But these guys, don't worry, they had it covered. They were brilliant. And they even have, there's a bike of that the two brothers had, quote unquote, like invented, that's at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. You can go see in Washington, D.C. So they were into bicycles, and it was through bicycles that this new passion and curiosity about winning in the world of aviation kicked in. At this point in time for them, an airplane was able to successfully fly but not with a person in it. So there were, you know, people practicing and already trying to get planes up in the sky. It's just no one was really successful about the physical person being in an airplane and making that work out. And this is where the Wright brothers, and when we talk about critical thinking and innovation, really separated the, it was like the Robert Frost moment for them of the road less taken. Everyone else that was fascinated with aviation was focused on powerful, strong engines. How do we make this thing steam and dream, get into the sky, pump it, and watch it go and fly successfully with someone in it? Whereas the Wright brothers had a different hypothesis. In the spirit of scientific method, they believed, from their passions with bicycles, that this was something more about finding the balance of, you know, that equilibrium and balance of the plane, and focusing on the steering capabilities of the airplane to get that to that place of balance, just like you would on a bicycle. So simple when it's explained that way. And yet I can't even imagine what's going on inside of an airplane, right? Apparently a lot of people in the airline industry don't know either, because of all the recent plane incidents. Just a joke of the times. So the brothers took this hypothesis and were building out plane after plane, thousands of attempts to fly a plane in the sky and pilot the plane. So much so that the day that Orville was in the plane and they were doing another run, I mean, like for the million billionth time kind of energy, when they finally successfully got the plane in the sky and were able to maintain flight, they didn't even think twice about it. They weren't like, well, this is the biggest moment ever. There were witnesses, but it was not a thing for them because they had tested it so many times. They were just like, well, just another test. Let's take some notes. And that was something else that was really great, and a testament to what helped them get there was, in addition to studying the failures, they got up and kept going. So when you're out there and you're coming up with your own dream and you want to go innovate something, failure is not something that is, it should never be seen as a negative thing. It's so important to learn through failure, lean in through failure, take the notes and become better. And, you know, we should always strive to get to perfection, knowing we will never be perfect, but because of failure exists, because we know it exists, but also know that through failure and the will and want to do better and strive for that perfection, that's where the greatest moments of innovation happen. And that's what happened with the Wright brothers. Now, this is the funniest part. So I'd said that the year when they got the airplane up in the sky was 1903, right? Imagine what this moment was like. And I had a hard time. Picture this. So Orville gets in the plane, he powers up the engine, and the airplane starts to go up into the sky. The flight itself, the first ever flight, lasted 12 seconds, traveled 120 feet, and it reached a top speed. Buckle up. Are you buckled up? Of 6.8 miles per hour. Whoa! Slow down, Bessie. 6.8 miles per hour. So it was quick, short, not quick, slow, short, and safe is probably the best way to quote that out, but still exciting nonetheless. And this actually took place in North Carolina in a little city called Kitty Hawk. There's a memorial there for the Wright brothers in honor of the Wright brothers that you can go to, and it's $10 if you're an adult, 16 and up, excuse me, $10 to get in, and then free for any other age. And then and for 65 plus, it's free as well. For those of you retirees out there, you lucky ducks. And then there, what else is kind of fun in the spirit of Freedom Flare, where we love our national parks, right? There is a very, very close by national historic site called the Fort Raleigh. And that place is on Roanoke Island. And it's about 17 miles just southwest of the memorial. So, you know, 40-minute drive, 45 minutes. And what's interesting about that site, as a quick little side quest historical snack for you all, is that that was where England had their first ever unsuccessful attempt at colonizing the North American continent. So it's kind of like interesting to go and be like, wow, England came here, tried to colonize, and like bombed it real hard. It did not go well. did not go well. And it was known as the Lost Colony. So for those of you who've heard of like the Roanoke, you know, hauntings, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, that's it. That's the Lost Colony. So if you're like, wow, we're going to go check out this Wright Brothers Memorial site, and you can just go see a piece of where England was unsuccessful, but in the spirit again of failure, they came back and then they colonized, and look at us, America. We took over. We taking over. And then we, you know, we established our constitution, and here we are, 1903, flying an airplane. So let's get back to the story here. So they fly this thing, log it all, and then this is where the story gets really interesting. So they were the ones who basically invented the three-axis control system. This is what enables a pilot to steer an aircraft effectively and maintain that equilibrium I mentioned. And it's those controls with like fixed wing powered flight that airplanes are using standard all today, even now. So pretty amazing. Like even all this many years later, when we flash forward to today, that key component is like the core, the nucleus, if you will, of the cell that is what's powering. It's not so much the engine. It's all about the equilibrium. It's all about the equilibrium, baby. Okay. Now, this was exciting for them. A few years after this had happened, so it was 1903. In 1906, Wilbur and Orville Wright were finally issued a patent. So they were like, let's file a patent. Let's own this thing, because they wanted to make sure that no one would steal or try to come in and take their paperwork and file to get the money or the ownership and the rights to building a flying machine. So their patent was for a flying machine, and they got it issued to them by the United States. To all of you small business entrepreneurs out there, if you have a dream and you have an idea and an invention, the first two things you need to do are to file for a trademark, registered trademark, and file for patents. So your patent pending. Go get out there and protect your invention. Protect your idea. Just protect your invention. So that's what they did. They filed the patent for the flying machine, quote unquote. It wasn't for an airplane. It was a flying machine. And then they were like, hey, we're going to get crazy rich off this. If we have a patent, we can sue everybody who's out there trying to fly a plane right now. That is where their heads were. So not only were they brilliant scientific gentlemen and inventors, in the very beginning, they were pretty savvy businessmen and were like, let's get lucrative with this. But also, they just didn't want people stealing all of the science and research that they had done. Now, this is where things took a shift for one of the brothers, not the better, and for the other, you know, was neither here nor there. But once the patent went off, this triggered a series and years of lawsuits, specifically with this other famous aviator guy named Glenn Curtiss. Glenn Curtiss got famous for tons of contribution to the field of aviation. He was the one who like created that retractable landing gear that we know when the plane is coming down or going up and you pull in or out, and the tricycle landing gear to maintain the balance, and then dual pilot controls. So this guy was also a big contributor to aircraft today. We need to give it up to Glenn Curtiss. And unfortunately, in the spirit of innovation comes the spirit of lawsuits in America. Oh my gosh. Everyone loves to sue everybody. It's just so crazy. So anyway, Glenn Curtiss and the Wright brothers were suing each other back and forth forever. And it's just kind of a sad story, because for one of the brothers, for Wilbur, he got so caught up in the stress of those legal issues that he ended up getting sick and then getting typhoid and passing away at 45 years old in 1912. So you've got 1906, they get that patent, and not more than 6 years later, this poor guy passes away. And this guy was really living a life of stress. And it's there's not too much more about it that needs to be said, but bless that man. Then Orville, where did his story go? He lived a really long life. And that's why, you know, Orville had more time to tell the story, to inspire others, to share the ideas and brilliance of aviation and be a part of helping grow the industry in the years forward. And the gentleman passed away at the age of 76 in 1948 of a heart attack. Yeah, so we got two great brothers that changed the forever landscape of America and the world thanks to their innovation and never wanting to give up. Now, speaking of never wanting to give up, I have felt this way when I've been on an airplane with my kids. As I've had to travel with them to go visit our family, we live across the country now. We used to live right next door practically to my parents and a family, and now we're way across the country and we have to hop on planes with our kids now to go see everybody, and we're all about it, happy to do it. I'm sure people on planes absolutely hate us. For the haters out there, haters gonna hate. But also, to the people on the planes, and I don't know if you'll ever hear me, but there was this one woman one time where I had Harper and she was crying, my little baby toddler, crying, wouldn't stop, to the point where I started crying. I was so overwhelmed. And this one woman, Angel, just gets up and says, "I would love to hold your baby." And I gave her that baby like goodbye. But it wasn't really like that, but I was just crying. And she took this sweetheart, and Harper cried a little bit and then was settled. And it was a miracle. And so we have a little bit of both. We got the good and the bad on the flights, and we should be aware of all of it. Be self-aware as a parent and do the best you can. I know you're all out there doing the best you can, but the number one thing you got to think of is not only when you're in flight, do you have to think about your kids? You do have to be a little bit aware of the people around you just to make sure you can read a room and let people know, like, hey, I'm struggling too, by the way. Like, you know, that's what it's about. Here are my best tips for you all. When you get to that, well, get yourself there so early, it's not even funny. Just deal with it knowing that it's going to take forever to get through TSA with little kids and collapsing your stroller and all the things. And if I could give you guys advice right now, if you haven't ever done this before with a flight and kids and all the things you're going to have, and there's people behind you are like breathing down your throat because they're like going to commute for work for the day, and they're like, oh my God, I got stuck behind the family. Don't worry about that person behind you. Focus on your family. As I talk about self-awareness, focus on your family. Take your time, because the more pressure you're going to feel from that energy coming from behind you in the line, you're going to, like, it's going to take twice as long, you know? So just relax, stay calm. It's okay. I like to tell everyone to recommend for kids to wear bright colored clothes so you can see your children. And not to bring the temperature of the room down and make it all cold and creepy out here, but, you know, sex trafficking is at its highest peak when you're at an airport. It is disgusting. It is horrible. It is so sad, but it is a thing. And I am so aware. I'm like one of that. I forget the name of the angel that has 1,000 eyes in the book of Ezekiel. I'm looking everywhere. I am paying attention to the person breathing behind me. Are they about to take my kid? Back off. Like, I watch out. But bright colored clothes, matching clothes. Matching clothes are helpful too. If you could put them in matching clothes, that's great as well. Now, something else to consider is traveling with a copy of your children's birth certificates, obviously. And Kate, no one's ever asked us about that when we're in line with our kids, but good to have on you. And then emergency papers, know their medical information, have that in an envelope. I pack it in a backpack I carry on the plane so that wherever you're going, if there is a medical emergency with your kids, you've got the paperwork there with you ready to go. And if you don't want to take it with you and you'd rather be, you know, even paperless, do Genius Scan app. It's an app on your phone, Genius Scan, and you can scan in all that paperwork and have it as a PDF living on your phone. I prefer to just bring the physical papers though. So we've got paperwork, we've got our kids, they're dressed. I pack the snacks. You can't bring, we know we can't do liquids. We get our liquids after we get through TSA, but pack the snacks, just do it. It's a ridiculous, it's more expensive for snacks at the airport than it is at Disneyland. And that says a lot. So pack some snacks that your kids are gonna love. Don't assume that one bag is enough. Get a couple different things. Pack Crayola crayons, the magic erase markers are amazing. You can get them at Target. You can get them at Walmart. There's these little pens that are white and they color on the paper that comes with the crayons, and they change color so they're not staining anything. Play-Doh is a great friend when you're on a plane. And I've heard some parents do blue tape, and I don't really fully grasp this. I've never done it, but you can bring a roll of blue tape and like stick it places, and your little kids are fascinated with it. Like, it'll help entertain them. Anything will work, right? Let's try anything. Leave nothing off the table. I also love, and I shameless, I love a good, I got the iPad. I try to bring, in addition to the iPad, the headphones that would sync either to the iPad, but also the plug-in kind. So if you're at a airline that has the plug-in ones that aren't wireless, you're okay there. So bring that. And then blankets and stuffies. Just deal with it. It's a lot of extra stuff to be lugging on the actual physical flight, but your kids will be comfortable. The more comfortable they are, is the higher the odds of them not wanting to freak out. And if they do, then they have things to help soothe them on their quest and keep you out from feeling like you're going to die. Now, a few other things that I could be stating the obvious here, but tag team with your spouse. Set it up so that you guys are taking turns on the longer hauls, especially that, hey, I'll do the kids for an hour and a half. You can relax, watch your movie, or, you know, and then switch off. Or if it's getting really bad, you tap them in and just have that conversation before of like, hey, how do we want to tag team the flights so that we're okay and like feeling emotionally strong and not have to look like we don't know what we're doing, even though half of us really don't know what we're doing. We're just going with the flow anyway. That's a great idea. Walking the aisle, if the seatbelt sign is turned off, getting your kids a little walk around, just changing the scenery, changing the setting for even a few seconds, taking a potty, whatever. Those are great things to help just make that time go by. Something else to consider would be as the plane is taking off and landing, your kids' ears are going to hurt, right? We forget about that sometimes, that we're quickly popping our ears, not thinking twice of it. Your kids are crying likely because they can feel the pressure from the elevation changes. So offering them a beverage on the plane, the water, or if you have formula, milk, whatever you have on the plane, drinking and the action of drinking can help pop your kids' ears if they don't understand how to pop them yet, if they're not old enough to get that concept. And the last little tip I'd share for you all, I have not done this as I tee this up, but I have friends who have, and they swear by it, is Benadryl and melatonin, or not both. Oh my gosh. Doctor approve only. I am not a doctor. Do not come for me. But some of my friends who have kids that are just absolutely feral psychopaths will, you know, give them a very tiny dose of one of the two, and it just makes them sleepy. And good luck though. Know your kid. Do that test before you go, because talk about failure. Some of those medicines cannot react well with your kid. Like you could give them one specific brand of melatonin and they go crazy ape wild, whereas a different brand, they're totally fine and they get a little sleepy and they fall asleep as it's supposed to do. So just be careful with that, please, if you're going to go that route. And no, I'm not here to judge you if you do it. I don't blame you. My kids have been feral and I've wanted to die on these planes. And I didn't have that. I didn't consider it. I don't know if I still would, but, you know, it's something to think about. And the last piece there is that moms are going to help on the planes. I haven't really seen a dad come up and be like, hey, if you need something, let me know. You know, but I feel like dads would step up too. Dads do love it. But just know, I told my story, like, we're here for each other. I always make a point, if I'm traveling for work and I see a mom with her kids, I say, hey, I'm watching. If you need anything, I've got your back. Just like put your hand up. I will come help you. We got to help each other out on these planes. And that's something we got to be, have the camaraderie, you know, give it up, reciprocity. We're here to help each other. It's a great way to just get along and get through the flight. And that's it. Those are my quick little tips for everybody as you fly on your plane and travel. And good luck to y'all there. Good luck and Godspeed. But isn't this a fun one? National Aviation Day. And we talked about the Wright brothers. We talked about innovation, invention, failure. And through failure, the greatest one of the greatest inventions that transformed the world today to a point where I got to tell advice about how to survive with feral children as you travel. Quintessential American dream. From all of us to you all out there, don't forget that the heart of the family is what illuminates the American spirit. Catch you next time.